Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. You're all so cold, yeah? Yes. Well, the first time I said praise the Lord, you see, I've got you talking. Even Mrs. Bello is saying, no. This is going to be a good service. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good service. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning, for each one of us that made it. Nehemiah, we call him Nehe. Nehe, your testimony has really blessed my family. Hallelujah. The culprit is just already shaking the head like this. But your testimony has blessed my family. And in some churches, I know that you would say, "Nze sibibwa," you know, or they don't cheat me or steal from me. I think you will need to lay hands on some people in my household so that we stop losing things like shorts, yeah, like about what, watches, things keep disappearing. But, yeah, Nehemiah, thank you so much. You're very welcome, Mrs. We didn't get the name. Who? Mrs. Taylor. Esther, all right, you're very welcome. Let's just say Auntie Esther, now that you're in Uganda, yeah? So you're welcome, Auntie Esther. So very quickly, let us just commit her husband, who is going through that scenario, that to God, yeah? Let's close our eyes and we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this family. Father, we thank you for Auntie Esther and her husband. Lord, we thank you that you who began the good work in their family, you bring it to a completion. And now, Father, we come in agreement this morning, committing her husband into your hands. Father, we pray that you stretch out your hand, your healing hand, your comforting hand, your hand of provision during this time, that you will meet him and his family and all the people that are around him at their points of need. Father, we pray for a quickening in his body, that King of Glory, even as he is in this earthly vessel, Lord God, that, Father, your healing hand, he will experience it, healing in his emotions, healing in every aspect of his life, Father. Lord God, we thank you and we bless you. Father, we pray a special blessing upon Auntie Esther as she's here. Lord God, may she go back enriched. May she go back restored. May she go back bearing the testimony of a Ugandan that we are indeed a blessed country, we are indeed a blessed nation. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Yes. Today there's no children's church. Let me see so that I can know. All right. Okay. Who was here last Sunday? Last Sunday? Just for show of hands, because I need to connect what I'm going to talk about today. Put up your hands, guys, yeah? Okay. Okay, not so bad. Praise the Lord. Yes, last Sunday, Pastor preached a very interesting sermon. Now, I tried to tell him this yesterday, but I don't know if he really understood it, yeah? Because I said one thing, he said something different, and I knew he hadn't understood me. Now, there are sermons that are preached that zikulumiriza, what is that word? They convict you, yeah? So there are some sermons that convict you. There are sermons that encourage you. There are sermons that comfort you. There are sermons that excite you. But last Sunday's sermon made me glad. I had joy in my heart. Last Sunday, Pastor talked about making vows to God. And for me, it wasn't an encouragement per se, but it was, I just sat behind there and I just felt a lot of excitement in my heart. Why? Because I'm someone who is so traditional. I so believe in vows. I believe in saying one thing and you have to fulfill it. And also maybe in my relationship with God, that is how we operate. Yeah, he says one thing, he fulfills it. I say my things, I also fulfill them. There are consequences for not fulfilling what I said. Yeah, so for me, it is that someone that as just like everything he was mentioning, I was like, yeah, that. And also, because I grew up in, not in this the Pentecostal church that we are in now, Prophecy Word. I grew up in those days of full gospel church, Apostle Mitala. I grew up in those days of when Deliverance Church was still, they didn't have so many celebration points. There were few. And in those days, we were taught about vows and covenants and deliverance and all these things. So for me, it didn't come as something that is new, because it's what I was trained. It is how I know God, okay? So that sermon made me happy. I left church, like, you know, not going to make a vow, but I just left church happy. I'm like, these are the things. Now this is the language I understand. Yeah, and so every time people talk about vows, and I'm going to relate it to covenants, today I'm going to talk about sacrifices. Generally, we are taught the other aspect in the other kingdom about covenants, about making vows, or kweyama, yeah? What's the other word which I wrote here as I remembered? M-E-C-N-G. Okweyama is... vowing, yes. Then, endagano, yeah? You know those? Yes, the covenants, yeah? So every time we talk about endagano or kweyama or vows or covenants, it is in the other kingdom, the kingdom of the devil, yeah? Many times it is brought up in that aspect. Now, in the positive aspect, when we talk about covenants and vows, for us, many times I've seen that in the Pentecostal churches, as it is right now, it is a subject that is often abused. And preachers use it to in a sense, like, manipulate their listeners or the congregation into, like, giving, into evil things, yeah? So there is, every time you talk about, like, covenants and vows, especially in this dispensation of the grace of God, people don't want to listen, yeah? They're like, ah, covenants, no. Either they don't believe that those things exist, either they were hurt, either they have some trauma that, you know, they experienced. And most of us here, by the way, in this church, no, not most of us, I can bet you, if ye mulokole mukampala muno, you have at one point been manipulated into some giving of sorts, yeah, some making some vows, and then you end up making it, and then without the full understanding of what it is, and you don't reap what you've sowed. You never see the fruit of the thing that you have done. So it's something that I feel like if we understood as Christians, covenants, vows, foundations, what people call a misinji, if we properly understood, or if we had the right teaching, we would be better. Glory to God. We would understand God in a new way. So today, from that time, I was like, God, because, let me give an example. Let me start with this example. All of us have heard stories of musicians, artists, that enter vows or covenants with the devil for fame, for money. Yeah, that is what will quickly come to any Christian. You talk about a covenant, ha, my auntie did this, ha, this musician did this. But never in the line of, ha, this is a covenant I had with God, and he fulfilled his part and also fulfilled my part. There are very few of those. And today I'm just going to talk about the other side that I have known, where I operate from. There is a musician who... I don't know if I should go into that, but let me just go into it briefly. There is a musician who, I think in November, yes, it was November or October, in between those months, she had a concert, and the concert was dubbed Neyanziza. I'm not going to say the name. You know, there is a time, pastor said to me, what is the name? Say the name. He's saying, say the name. She's, okay. The time I told my children, we had gone to the gym, I told my children, you know, that is, Bobby Wine was, Bebe Cool was in the gym. They're like, who is Bebe Cool? He was there, in the gym. I'm like, yeah, who was he? Like, yet I was with Quez. We were working out, and Bebe Cool was right there. We were working out. For us, we finished, we left. Then about where I remember, I don't even know what happened to me. I remember telling, by the way, do you know that Bebe Cool was? He's like, Bebe Cool, who is Bebe Cool? So I'm like, Bebe Cool is this guy. He's like, where was he? I'm like, in the gym. What does he look like? Like you could see. Eh? So even this musician, I know that many children are not going to relate, but the adults will relate. Anyway, so this musician is called, because Pastor has told me to say the name, so I'm going to obey him, Sheba, yeah? So Sheba Karungi does her concert, Neanziza. I'm listening to all of these things on YouTube by some guy who's always blasting secular musicians. So this guy breaks it down for us. He's like, Christians, please do not go for these concerts. Don't listen to this music. People do not just rise up, you know, just like that. So now he starts telling a story of her rise to fame. That there was a musician before her. This musician was called G-Snake. Now me, I didn't know these things. She was called who? G-Snake. G-Snake, a young girl like this, yeah, entered a covenant with the devil. And the devil told her, everywhere you go, before you do your concert, I have the children's attention, everywhere you do your concert, you have to move with me. And the condition was, just move with a snake in the car. Now, you know those guys, they come with receipts. That is win or evidence. Bobolo was a name, but just snake, ask so-and-so, ask so-and-so. Even that musota anga amulumiriza that just snake, ya tamblanga with what? With a snake in her car. A snake. So, and this guy was saying, really, if you really think that I'm saying, oh, I'm lying, come for me, I'm here. You come. And he brought up the receipts. He brought up the borderman who used to, I think, give her things about eggs and chicken to feed the snake. But among the things that the devil asked this young girl to do, if she was to rise to fame, was to also sacrifice 9 virgins. So apparently this young girl, G-Snake, fails to fulfill the requirements of that covenant. So guess what the devil does? He moves on, gets that anointing, and moves on to another person. That other person is Sheba, yeah? So he moves on to Sheba and gives her some conditions. But for her, I don't think she was told to move with a snake. I didn't hear the guy say that. But one of the things she was told to do is to write, she was now given another name. In that kingdom, they were given another name. So for her, hers was karma, yeah? And she was told to put it somewhere. Let me stand here. Put it somewhere here. Ladies and gentlemen, the stomach is flat, but it here, yeah? So if when you're going to, like, by the way, but these things are really true. She had to keep flushing that part of her body, yeah? And maybe that explains why she dresses, or she used to dress, or I don't know the way she dresses. So anyway, among the other things that she was told was, I will give you the fame, but you will not at any one point have a child, be involved in a relationship with a man that will end up with a child. That was the condition. So Sheba, and also she was asked for some virgins. So Sheba, over the years, makes the atonement. People die on her concerts. Like, different things happen. People disappear. Young girls disappear. Dance like that, yeah? And then now, eventually, after she had fulfilled everything, now her master comes back, the devil, and tells her, you know what? You have fulfilled what I said you know, what I asked for. So he gave her the fame. But there was one thing that she hadn't yet got. That is the child. So eventually, I don't know what happened in their agreement, but now this guy, the YouTuber says that when she fulfilled that condition, that was like the last thing. When she fulfilled that condition, the devil lifted. He lifted he lifted that thing off of her and now allowed her to what? To actually conceive. And I was telling, I think, someone that the devil is such a bad master. He allows her to conceive, and later we find out that she has conceived by a married man. Yeah? And I'm like, for all these hospitals that are here, couldn't she have gotten there, gone and gotten something there, yeah? But does it have to be go for a married? You see the devil's things, yeah? It's still not a good thing. But anyway, so her Nayans is a concert. The guy was asking, what is Sheba thanking God for? What talent does Sheba have? Really, if you listen to her songs, what skill is there? What voice is there? Nothing, nothing. So now she comes and she's doing this Nayanziza concert and people are going. Then now they played a clip of what happened before the concert. There was a guy who was on stage. You guys, I saw the guy falling and he actually died. Then now there were other people who came up and talked about how they almost lost their lives. And of course, Napo was saying, yeah, there were many, there was a stampede, blah, blah, blah. But if you're a Christian, or if you have been a Christian long enough, you know that there are sacrifices. You know that, yeah? You don't just race to fame. But now there is only a set, like there is, I don't know, there is a place where the voice reaches. Yes, it is good. Yes, you are talented, but there's got to be a sacrifice that has got to be made for you to enter another realm, for you to be at another level. You understand? So Sheba didn't have, like, there are many, well, haven't you listened to people who have very nice voices? I have, and they don't have that fame. They don't have that fame. And part of it is because they cannot enter those covenants with the devil. Others do, others don't. Yeah, but that goes to show that there is a certain level where maybe the anointing will stop, or God will take you, our voice will take you, your preaching will take you until all your brightness, your I don't know, like amagezi go we got to uka, and until you make that sacrifice. So that Sheba you hear about, yeah? She fulfilled everything. Now she did the Nayanziza concert, and she was thanking the devil for lifting that caveat. Can you imagine? And now people are there singing also, what? Sheba concert, Sheba concert, what? Sheba holic, Sheba what, yeah? But she's actually saying thank you to the devil. So I was like, but she's been here a long time. What is she thanking God for, really, eh? What is this whole Nayanziza thing about? And guys died in that stampede. If you want to follow it, you go to TikTok, you will hear people's testimonies. But then that day and food day, people had died, I had gone, I had died, I saw someone dying. And they never report about such things. So anyway, but the same way it works there is actually in that kingdom of darkness, is the same way sacrifices work for Christians. Glory to God. There is a place where your skill can take you. There is a place where your bitabo can take you. There is a place where your connections can take you, all right. Your anointing. But there is, if there are people, and I've known this for a fact, that if you want to break through into a certain realm, you've got to offer a sacrifice. You have got to offer a sacrifice. Now, to who you offer it is the difference. Either to God or to the devil. But now here we are. And why do I say this? Because Jesus, God knows, it's a principle. These are the principles of God. And by the way, like, these are some of the principles they call blind principles, that it doesn't matter who does it. When you do it, it will bring forth fruit. It's like giving. You don't need to be born again for you to be a successful giver. I have seen people who are not born again, but because they give, they are not financially depressed. I'm telling you, just by practicing giving and receiving, that whole thing, yeah? Now, okay, not the way pastor does it, but you understand what I'm saying? The way man's... Yes, so even for us, it is, I mean, it's the same. Again, it's just that when it comes to sacrifices, when it comes to covenants, it doesn't matter who has engaged that principle. If you engage it, you will reap from it. So it's a blind principle, yeah? So I thought I should talk about sacrifice because last week, Pastor talked about making vows. And I'm like, ngabwe manyi people. People are going to rush to make vows. But I felt we should talk about sacrifices just to put the whole vow thing in perspective. So that when you're making a vow to God, the Bible says, do not be in haste to make the vow, Yeah, that means that you have to give it time. You have to understand. You have to pray through it. And then when you make the vow with understanding, you'll even fulfill it. Glory to God. Now, sacrifices in the Old Testament were not only meant to provide atonement for sin, but also to serve as an opportunity to express thanksgiving and gratitude to God. In the Old Testament, of course, we know its sacrifices were the order of the day. But nowadays, in this church, the post-Old Testament church, when you talk about sacrifices, we only know the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Only when you talk about give a sacrifice to God, those are the two things that come up on believers' lists. Thanksgiving and praise, not anything else. But there are a lot of sacrifices that we can give to the Lord. Now, I also know that when we give sacrifices, we move the hand of God. Glory to God. Every time, and Eleti has done it before, when you want to move God, you give him the what? The sacrifice. Hallelujah. But you have to do it with understanding because God can't be manipulated. Psalm 51, 16 to 19. God is interested in the condition of our hearts more than the sacrifice. And I'm trying to say this to put sacrifices in context. It says that you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would bring it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Let me stop there. Yeah. This was written by someone who was giving sacrifices to God. That is David in the Old Testament. Yes. But he knew that there was something that is beyond that sacrifice. That is your heart. So the state of your heart matters. That is why you cannot come to God with your sacrifice and you think ogenda mutega, and you think you're going to manipulate God to give you what you want because you have brought the sacrifice. We are meant to understand from this scripture that God goes beyond the offering that we bring. And that is why when these things are preached out of context, when you give because you have been manipulated, excited, whatever, sometimes you do not see the fruit of your giving. Why? Because of the state of your heart. Or you will not see the fruit of your sacrifice because you were coerced. Yeah, you were coerced. You were what? You were excited by the preacher. All right? Isaiah 1:11. For what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs or goats. This is God. Again, this scripture is smack right in the Old Testament by a prophet, yeah, who says, these people used to offer sacrifices, burnt offerings for sin, for what, all those things. But now there is an angle again to the sacrifices that we give. There is an angle to the vow that you make to God. You do not make a vow in haste to get what you want from God. That means that you shouldn't take vowing to God lightly. Oh God, if you give me this, I'll give you this. Those things are not light. Okay? Because God goes beyond the thing that you're telling him. But generally speaking, a life of a Christian is a life of sacrifice. Yeah? Romans 12:1-2, the Bible tells us to give up, to be living sacrifices to God. Okay, we all know this scripture. My children can say this scripture of Manzi. You can say it? Okay, this was their scripture for the term. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me stop there. So generally, a life of a Christian, we are called to a life of sacrifice. That even your body, you are not your own. You are not your own. You are that offering. Glory to God. But even when God tells us that our lives are a life of sacrifice, I have realized in my walk with God and over time and as I was taught, that once in a while, every so often, God will demand a sacrifice that is beyond this, that is beyond your normal kwewayo. Yes, that even while you are the living sacrifice, God will demand another kind of sacrifice. God will come to you and say, no, give me this. I want this. Just like the devil. You know, one of those days I was in Dr. Magara's deliverance schools, yeah? And the thing that he talked about that I still remember up to now is there are covenants that are made with the devil where the devil asks, munampachi. Like he's that kind, mugenda kumpachi, munampachi. And then these guys would say, you're not with Jabikwa. And he's like, nabana mujabampa. Like it's not just, yeah? Like I am no living sacrifice. He's like, yeah. Some I understand that you are the living sacrifice, but what about this? Okay? So then I understood that sometimes the sacrifices go beyond. They're not abstract things. They're not, God, I give you thanks, I give you... You know, that kind of talk, it's cheap, but when it comes to God actually telling you, sacrifice this for me, that is when you'll be what? That is when you'll be tested. And we shall see in Scripture. So, Dr. Magara said that they were in these occultic practices, when they are making covenants, the devil is clear. He asks, what are you going to give me? Remember when Pastor talked about, last week Pastor said, put God in the mix. Let God know what he is going to get out of the transaction. Because he's interested, even the devil is interested. Onampachi. Then you send Jakuwe Motoka, I'll give you the car, I'll give you money. Then he's like, okay, but what about the children? Also those ones, are they mine? And these guys, the witch doctors, they would say, Naabana tujabakuwa. And you know they are giving away children of the generations, like children of three generations after them. Nabana tuja kolachi, tuja bakwa. And then now they enter a covenant. They enter some vow of sorts. All right? And we know also that as Christians, our sacrifices to God, you're already a living sacrifice, but there are things that you do that show that you love God. Our sacrifices to God shouldn't be aimed at, like I said earlier, manipulating God, but they should come out of the love for him. If you say you love God, you must in your life, if you're here and you're above 18 and you have never given God a sacrifice, chill those things of a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving, and you have never given God a sacrifice. I don't know, this sermon is for you. Glory to God. This sermon is for you, and you came here at the right time. Amen. So we sacrifice to God, as it was even in the Old Testament, out of honor, out of love for him, because he did this exact same thing. John 15:13, no greater love, yeah, has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is Jesus telling us about this kind of sacrifice, you know? And God knew that to enter covenant with man, of course we all know blood had to be shed, and he also gave us his son as to be sacrificed. So for you, what are you going to give him? Okay? So sacrifice to God comes out of our love for him. And as we have seen before, again last week, Pastor talked about Hannah. I don't know if he talked about Abraham, who was asked, who was tested. His love for God was tested when God asked him to give up Isaac, his only son. Can you imagine? And you're like, but God, how mean can you be? This guy has walked with you. He loves you. At that time, Abraham had done many things that many of us haven't even yet done. But he was asked for the only thing he had, his son of promise. By the time Abraham took that son, Isaac, to put him on the altar, Isaac, I think for him he was already dead in Abraham's head. He was already dead. Me, I think I'll be like, I don't even think I would reach the mountain, yeah? But once in a while, God will ask you for that. And you don't see God asking for other Isaacs along the way, you know? You don't see him asking now, Abraham, now ask, like, those things, like I said, every so often, God will ask you to enter a covenant with him, to make a vow, to make that sacrifice to him. Yeah, and not everyone, by the way, will be asked for an Isaac. There are people, I think, people like Pastor Hush who are asked for Isaacs. Eh? Because for them, they're in those levels. Yeah, Sunday, 27th October 2019. Okay? LAT, God asked us. He asked us for something. He asked us for a worship service. A service of worship and thanksgiving. And we did it. He asked us for it. And we did it. Munampachi. Me and God told us this is what I want. He didn't say I want your money. He said this is what I want. A service of praise and worship. We came here, we worshipped. Do you know what came out of that worship, that sacrifice? It was an oath of blessing that we are still standing on to date. That oath of blessing that has kept us alive to date. That oath of blessing that has protected us to date. If we didn't have that oath, I was telling people in the Thursday prayer meeting that there are things that when you do for God, He will protect you. You may not be the richest church, but you not have some attacks of the devil. Those ones are waned off like this. Why? Because God is like, I have an oath with these people. I have an oath. Even when you have given up, that is why God told us that everything that I have promised you, it will come to pass. My simple understanding is this, that even when you give up, God ajachirwa anirira. Mpaka, because it's beyond you. Glory to God. So you see, when you make sacrifices, they are for your good. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Another important thing to note about sacrifices is God will not ask you to offer him something or to sacrifice something that doesn't mean anything to you. I've seen this in my life. Yeah. There are some things, if God asked me right now to give him my bag, I would easily saw that. But God knows where to get me. He knows if I ask Joanne for this, she's going to come back here, pray again, pray to understand, pray for a dream, pray for a prophetic word, but she will have to end up giving it to me. Okay? So God will not ask you for something that is easy. That is why it's called a sacrifice. There is an element of pain. There is an element of discomfort. There is an element of dying. There is that element. There is a story of a lady around town who she was giving her testimony, and she said for her, she gave the children that she gave God. She entered a vow with the Lord of celibacy. She said, God, 1 year like this, 1 year, I'm going to be celibate. She had been around the block for a while. And she told God, Maze. For her, that was a huge gift. Guys are looking at me like, huh? That was a huge what? A huge sacrifice. That was a big vow. She said, but God, I'm giving you 1 year. In 1 year, I want to be married. I had this testimony. I was in the room with her when she was telling us. And she said, man, that was the hardest year of her life. Can you imagine? That was the hardest year of her life. She had the money, she had what, but she was like, she said, when she made the vow, she started counting down the what? The days. Then she ran to Watoto Church. She said, I cannot survive after making this vow. I need help. She ran to Watoto Church, went into church. There she used to go for service just so she can keep on the mulamo of the vow. And that at the clock of 1 year like this, God fulfilled. She fulfilled her vow of celibacy, and God fulfilled what? His end. She's now married. She has children. She's even a what? A nalongo. Can you imagine? Isn't God good? Out of a vow of celibacy. Yeah, she got, God multiplied her in 2 years. She has 3 children. She's married. That is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And it reminds me for us, now for me who was listening to that testimony, I remember signing a Glovimo card, Glory of Virginity Movement. Then I also remember signing another card, which True Love Waits. Who knows those cards? True Love Waits, yes. Pastor must be no. Jerry, do you know True Love Waits? Anyway, recently Mr. Langa Stephen and the wife, yeah, they're the ones who made us sign those cards of True Love Waits. They were calling everyone who signed that card, yeah, And they made it through. We had a get-together online. Me, when I met my husband, I gave him my what? My two cards, the Glovimo card and the True Love Waits. And up to now, I think it is stored somewhere, yeah? But it was all about keeping yourself pure, yeah, until marriage, yeah? So now, Mr. Langa, Stephen, and the wife, why no lukungana, you guys? Why? Because these are very rare things in your generation. Yes, they are very rare. So when I heard her speak, and I was like, huh? For me, okay, me, yeah? And I signed that thing about then without understanding what Glovimo I signed. Anyway, so I was amazed that someone can actually vow to God, yeah? And for them, that is their sacrifice. So you understand that sacrifices go beyond money. It's just that when people preach sacrifices, it always points to money. And in a certain sense, yes, because money shows you, money is a god on its own, yeah? So I understand where they're coming from. But that is not all there is. You can be here and say, God, for me, for this year, or for 2 years, or for 4 years, I'm going to serve you like this. Or I'm going to wake up every morning and pray. Or I'm going to, you can find a way of entering some sacrifice with God there. Glory to God. It doesn't have to be money. Okay, what? Supposing you don't have it, then what will you do? Supposing you don't have it, does that mean that for you, you're exempted from being a living sacrifice? No, you're not, yeah? So, anyway, yeah? So every once in a while, God will ask you to give something, and this thing will be costly. Another thing I've realized in my life is that it's easy for you to give out something you have been given. As a sacrifice. Someone comes and gives you 100K and says, here is 100K. It's very easy for you to hear that God telling you, give me that as a sacrifice. Why? Because you didn't work for it. But the day you work for your 100K, no, let's even say 50K, you have sweated for it and God says, give me 50K. You first say, first wait. First talk to me in the praise and worship. First talk to me through the sermon. First talk to me through a testimony. Just 50K, yet you could easily give out some because you never worked. It wasn't the sweat of your hands, you see. Yeah, so it's easy to give out such things. But the thing you have worked for, the thing that hits, you can even give out a house. You can give out a car if it was gifted to you. But when God said that car that you have spent 4 years saving for, Jirete, give it out. Yeah? And chabuntu. But it shouldn't stop us from actually going ahead and sacrificing. I remember a time, I can now say this, that there is a time we felt led to give out our car. I went to my husband and I'm like, husband, I feel this. So we prayed about it and we gave out the car. You guys, I spent about like 2 years without a car. It was hard. The giving out was easy. Mama, but thereafter, it was hard. Borders, Ubers, what? But I know when we're giving the sacrifice, one of the things I told God was, I want a house. That time we didn't have a house, yeah? So I told God that, God, I want a house. I want another car. So, and at that point, there was really, the car was the only big thing that I had, that I had saved for. And, you know, so we gave out the car. But praise the Lord that after doing that, a few years down the road, we now have our own house. Glory to God. The transactions are that simple. There is not time with square root, bichi. No. You fulfill your part and God will do his. And like we learned last time, that God will bless you exceedingly and abundantly. Glory to God. Amen. Another thing to note about sacrifices is through sacrifice, we are able to conquer idolatry and materialism. That is one of the things that helps us to put an appetite to the love of material things, to the love for money. If you ever, or if you're that kind of person who struggles with something in particular, say it could be ngafoi, all the money you get, it's clothes. All the money you get, it is shoes. All the money you get, you. One of the things, one of the ways to cut down on that appetite is say, God, the money I'm going to put in this, nienda zikuwa. And slowly by slowly, your appetite for these things will what? Big sister is looking at me and she's like, yes. Slowly by slowly, these things, the materialism. And you know, we really underestimate it. You do not know how materialistic you are. You underestimate it. You underestimate your attachment to things. It could be your children. It could be good grades. It could be your reputation. It could be anything. But if I told you I'm materialistic, even as I speak now, some people are like, I think that point is not mine. But we really underestimate, yeah, how materialistic we are. And then we think that the people who are rich are the ones who are materialistic. Then for us who do not have as much, we are not. But let me tell you, you can be like poor. But when it comes to coveting, when it comes to the love for things, you are more materialistic than the person who has them. You've seen people, you know, who are like that, haven't you? So people think that materialism is for the rich people. For us who are poor, we are not materialistic, and we are poor. But you can find, you are the worst at coveting. You are the worst when it comes to the love for things. The only thing is that you don't have them, but you love them. You really, really love them. You pursue them. You may never get them, but you are, it's a rabbit chase, yeah? All the time. I think that you're poor. So, materialism is for everyone, by the way. And these are things that when we offer sacrifices to God, maybe that some of these things are checked. Idolatry, materialism. One of the things that I remember struggling with many years ago, was I really wanted to have children. Really, really wanted to have children. They were also taking long to come. I really wanted to have children. Of course, you're married. What do you expect? You're married, I wanted to have children, and I wanted even about my firstborn, about what to be. Yeah? So anyway, you guys, I was like Hannah. I got to a point where I was so desperate. And now this takes me to my other thing about sacrifices, that sometimes your desperation will drive you. So how desperate are you for the thing that you want? Yeah? And it's okay to be driven by desperation, by the way, when it comes to some of these things. So I go to God, and I'm like, Mukama, help me. Just me, I'm going to give you. When you give me, whoever child you give, I didn't even know what I was saying that time. Now I know, yeah? It's easy to say these things when you don't have children yet. But now when you have them, and now God starts telling you, but you promised me these children. So you wake up and you go and minister. You leave the child behind, you'll be like, but now, yeah? Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So anyway, out of my desperation, I told God, I will give you all my children. Yeah, I was like Hannah, because of course I had read in the Bible, Chakolera Hannah, yeah? Why not me? Yeah? Why not me? Even my husband is called Samuel. I'm like, yeah? Mukama. Yeah? Why not me? So I told God. So I have the first child. I'm like, hey, okay. 4 years down the road. No child. I have one child. I want another child. The child is not coming. I went back to God. I'm like, by the way, God, even if it worked the last time, it's going to work now. I waited. I waited 4 years. There is a difference between a gap of 4 years between Kweza and Kwanzi. And I was like, my God, what am I going to do? So this time I had grown co-op in my spiritual, you know, life. So I told God, Hannah said, she's going to give you a what? Like, if you give her the son, she'll give him back to you. And then, for me, I went with an open check. I said, God, I am ready. A man of God, you want someone to give birth to the man of God? I'm here. I'm ready. I'm not even going to tell you I'm going to give him back to you. I'm like, just in case you're looking for where to send. Oh, Anya Gendo Kunza, you're the next man of God. I'm here. For me, it was open. I didn't say, God, I'm going to give him back to you. I said, ah, God, it just. So, Nkwanzi comes. I said, but God, I said a man of God. I said, this is a woman of God. But I didn't quite feel like that was the what? That was the vow I had entered into. So, praise the Lord. Let me spare my son. Hallelujah. But the point is, enter. I told God actually that I want to give birth. For me, Joanne, and I say it today. I told God that among my children, I'm giving you one. Choose any you want. Who will serve you? For me, that is, I'm giving you that. Any. And I'll not go in their way. If they'll be the brokest pastor ever, so be it. But I'm not going to go into your way of saying, you know, like how parents, you want your child to be the pilot. Praise the Lord, Martinson. You want your child to be the pilot. The doctor, praise the Lord, Dr. Flora, yeah? You want your child to be the architect, praise the Lord, Allison, yeah? You want your child to be the engineer, the banker, Mr. Duke, eh? The banker, highly esteemed. But when parents are told, Omwana, oh, let him come to church to serve me, there seems to be some hesitation there. You're going to sing in church? Singing. Just singing. Are they paying you? Which church? Last Adam Tab. Last Adam what? How much do they pay you? I thought you're going to sing Kalegenda Kom All Saints. They are, eh? The choir, they wear the cathedral-like things, and you know it's an esteemed choir. They have an organ. But Last Adam what? Tabernacle, back one maker. Okay, watch you go to Watoto. Somehow you'll end up being the pastor of worship in Watoto. But you understand what I'm saying, parents? So as we are saying these things, God, me, I'm a man of God. I'm giving you a man of God. When that child comes and tells you, the Lord has called me into ministry. You have paid how much money? For international school, you came here every Thursday. Bananga, we are believing for fees. Fees, fees, fees. Then now the Lord says, oh, you, that one in who you invested $70,000 for a semester. Mulet, mumpe, mumpe. Then they send your child to Kabera Maido. Eh? Oh, yeah. You'll be like, ne mukama. This thing that we are doing, what is it? Hallelujah. Amen. So, we shouldn't be quick to making vows to God. But when we do, have an understanding and be ready to fulfill I remember when my brother said he was called into ministry, the one who I follow, yeah? He went to university. He didn't finish. Of course, there were some mistakes that were made. But the point is that he didn't finish his course then. My mom had struggled through to get the fees. Actually, I remember the last semester, she had even gone to his last semester at university. She had gone to a microfinance and she had put security. The security she put to get money, which was about 500K, was Awaka TV and a fridge. My brother went to campus. Half the time, he spent it at Prayer Mountain and Gerenge. My mother didn't know. She gave him the fees. He went and he paid. The half the time, the guy was at Prayer Mountain and Gerenge and Banange. So for her, at the end of the 3 years, she expected a graduation. Enter my brother. Till that time, he would fast. The guy was stick thin. Yeah, he enters and he says, Mommy, I feel a calling into ministry. The calling he felt 3 years ago, which he could have told her that, you know what? He tells her at the end of what? The 3 years Ngasha has been paying. Say what? First of all, why are you this thin? So far she thought maybe because he's reading hard, what? Wow, you guys. He would spend his time in missions, all of that. And I'm not saying, children, you do this. But if you decide, me, you come and tell me early and we channel that money somewhere else. So anyway, my mom is like, what? Like, for real? is this? Of course, those are not the words that were going on in her mind. My mother is a traditional Munyankore woman. So she's not thinking, what is going on? She's thinking all the bad things in her head. She just could not believe it. And my other brothers also couldn't believe what my brother had done. We all expected, even me, I expected my brother to finish campus with a degree. Yeah, but he didn't. So they have talks with my mom, what. So my mom manages to convince him to go back. He enrolls for a second course. The same thing happened. This guy, instead of going for lectures, Gerenge, Prayer Mountain, missions, where? He would fast like crazy. He would fast on Christmas, fast on Easter. Every time I saw him, he was fasting. Yeah? So eventually, my mom gives up. I think in the second semester, my mom gives up. She's like, you know what? Okay. If you have been called to ministry, tell me which ministry school I should pay for. And you go. So after some time, my brother enrolls into a theology school. It's a Baptist school. He went and, you guys, he settled there 4 straight years. He was in those lectures. He got his degree from that theology school. He became a pastor in Full Gospel. He still is. He has a great understanding of scripture. I respect him. But it took my mom that. Yeah, so, but you see, I don't even know why I went there. But the point was, these things that we say, God, I'm going to give you, I want a man after the Lord's own heart. Yeah. I want a woman after the Lord's own heart. You'll find yourself here on Sunday morning, serving in church together. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. So, why do we offer sacrifices to God? We offer sacrifice. Another thing to note about sacrifices is when you offer your sacrifice to God, God will honor it if it's coming from the right place. We all know about Cain and Abel. Genesis 4, 1 to, 1 to 5 or 1 to 4. Genesis 4. 1. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Ah, you guys, let me first digress about this. When Eve said that she has acquired a man from the Lord, she thought this was the Messiah. Remember after the fall, God told them that I will. Remember, what did God tell them after the fall? Guys, you know anything. Without pastor, I will raise up what? A seed, and he will bruise the what? And you will do what to the what? The head. You will bruise the head. You will crush the head, guys. Eh? So anyway, so when Eve conceived this child, Cain, she thought it was that one. Can you imagine? That was interesting, yeah? And when you read about what the name Cain means, it's there. I have acquired a man from the Lord. For her, Eve thought, you know, this one is the one. Kumbe, she was holding a murderer, yeah? And then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. It's interesting that the Bible goes ahead to describe the kind of offering that Abel brought. But for Cain, the Bible didn't even bother. It didn't even bother. It just said he brought an offering. But for Cain, there was detail. It was the firstborn and it was the fat. And according to the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the fat was burnt to God. And that is what that aroma was so pleasing to him. So the Bible is careful to tell us that he actually offered what was pleasing to God. So when you make that vow, when you bring your sacrifice, you guys, I want to assure you that we have a God who respects contracts that we make. He is a vow keeper. He's a covenant keeper. Glory to God. And when you do it right, He will fulfill it. If there is anything that should encourage you to offer sacrifices, to make vows to God, it's because on the other end is a God who keeps His word. He is a God who receives your sacrifice. Glory to God. And again, the flip side is true, that should your sacrifice be found and wanting, He will not receive it, so you cannot cheat God. Hallelujah. You can't cheat God. Who is a musala number? You can't. Anyway, so when we offer our sacrifices to God, we honor Him. Then the last point is divine intervention. Is there anything in your life that you feel chisikatide? It's not moving. Yeah? Chikwaf, it's just not, you're not breaking through. Pastor alluded to this last week, and I'm also saying it today, but I'm saying let it be a sacrifice. Yeah? So if you want divine intervention, if you want to move the hand of God, say, God, now I've come, and this is what I'm bringing. Let us discuss this. I'm bringing A, B, C, D. And in exchange for this and this, talk to God about that. Glory to God. Because God understands, even to be a covenant, I be together more than us, by the way. Things of contracts, God understands them very well. And on the flip side, also the devil understands these things. So if you want divine intervention, try the way of a sacrifice. Let me tell you again about another musician who I know for sure, because also that one, they talked about him. This guy had been a big hit. I don't know. He's called Davido. Davido was a big hit. I don't know to what extent. But anyway, this guy said, this YouTuber said, he was a big hit. But then the competition became too much. Now, South Africans, West Africans, Senegalese started what? Rising. This guy wasn't moving anywhere. He wasn't, like, he had stunted. His career in music had stunted. He wasn't making as many sales. Then the devil comes. I don't know why the devil likes children. The devil says, you know what, give me a child. That time, Davido had one child. Give me your child. Davido was like, he first jam. But later, I don't know, he accepted. And guess what? One day there, we are chilling there. Mbu. Allegedly, not alleged, actually, the child died. His son drowns in the swimming pool at home. A big swimming pool. The child drowns. Senseless death. A child drowned, and they were there. Davido was there crying. You know what? You know when these YouTube videos are being talked about, they keep showing you snippets of the guy he's crying, like with pictures of the funeral service. What? Can you imagine that? Omwana wo mukazi. Woo! Mumazi. Sacrifice. Going like that. Abraham style. So, I was like, that woman is there crying. I don't know if she knew. I don't know what. But soon after that, now this guy starts to show us how the sales Davido started making in music, they started to go up. Collabo started coming. And as we speak, they even have twins to date. Currently, they have twins. But the devil accepted his sacrifice. But that was the vow of, give me the child, you'll go. You'll go up there. So I don't know if Mrs. Davido knows about it to date, or but she also watched the YouTube video like me. I don't know. Yeah? But the point is, when you need divine intervention, try the root of sacrifice. Of course, we know about Hannah's story. Hannah was desperate. She needed divine intervention, and God answered her after she entered that covenant with God. 1 Kings 18:30-33. We all know that this is the victory at Mount Carmel. But what is surprising about this Elijah story is why the sacrifice that Elijah had to give, yet he was a prophet of God. Like he didn't. I was like, this is a bit excessive, yeah? What Elijah did. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. All the people came near to him, and he replied, and he repaired the altar, the the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, the prophets of Baal had even broken down the altar. They had now, their show had ended. Now enter Elijah, and he also has to do his thing. So this is where we are starting from. 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 shears of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots of water and pour it down on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Do you know what it takes to cut a bull, you people? To cut a bull. Just imagine an abattoir. How many people does it take to cut a bull? This guy got the bull, chopped it. That, as in, he went ahead to do all these things to fulfill, to in a sense, give the perfect sacrifice to God. But he's a prophet. Did he need to do all this? All this? He could have just said, God, I pray, you come down. Let the fire come down. But he was like, yeah, I've called the show. And I need mukama ino kumvira yo, or else I'm finished. Remember, he had been mocking the prophets of Baal. But I would like to think that Elijah was like, it is show time, God. It is what? Show time. He didn't take any chance. He needed God to intervene. So he made sure he gives God the perfect sacrifice. I felt like, you are Elijah. You didn't need to give God. You could have just said, calm down. But she was like, this is a different kind of what? Intervention. If God doesn't come down, I am finished. And you know what? After he had done all of that, he just did this, raised his hands, prayed, and fire consumed the entire thing. Hallelujah. So if you want divine intervention in any area of your life, you have got to give a sacrifice. There is only so much your skill can do for you. And I'm going to say this. There's only so much your connections can do for you. Waliwo ebintu byoyina okusaddaaka. Yes. Mr. Balu has looked at me like, yes. Waliwo ebintu byoyina okusaddaaka. And it may not be money. It may be your time. It may be anything that God puts on your heart. You know yourself better than me. So there are things that you have to give in exchange. And this is just how that principle works, in exchange of this thing. And along with that sacrifice, you make your vow to God. I keep telling my husband that there is a particular promise that God gave us, that one. I went and sat down. I wrote a petition to God, clearly telling God what is in it for me, what is in it for him, and how I intend to fulfill this. And I told him, if there is a problem with my petition, let me know. So I always go to, I have an altar somewhere, and I go with my petition. I was telling Pastor, let me, I go to God, and I say, I come in the spirit of Joan Isoke, the mother of 3 children. And that is my petition, that on such and such a day, this is what I desired. From the dreams you gave me, this is what you said will come to pass. And for that bit, I promise that when they come to pass, this and this I shall do. This and this I shall do. I will teach them the way of the Lord. I will teach them to love you. I will sacrifice everything I have. And I talked to God, and I told him, God, what you're asking for is a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing for me to do. And I had that conversation with him. And he didn't tell me it was going to be easy. After that conversation, I didn't feel like, yeah, now everything is okay. Yeah, I've talked to my father. He has understood. He didn't change his mind. I thought the next day I would get a dream. Or maybe somehow Dennis will dream or Pastor, or somehow, yeah. So my kids will dream that, you know, things are kawa. The more actually I prayed about it, the more I just felt the impression on my heart. Please do not fight God. He's not asking you. He knows the time. Like in the dream, my father knew the time he was asking for that thing. He knew it was Obudde Bugenze. So anyway, I woke up and I told God, God, yeah, I've accepted. I'm going to do this. It's difficult for me, but I'm going to do it. And but then, because he asked for it, I said, "Sigenda vida mwao. God, you understand these things. You understand that it's going to cost me this." So that is how I ended up with the petition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, because that is the language Joan understands. That is how I was taught when I was a young girl. So I went, I'm like, it's a give and take thing. I'm like, God, you're asking me for something difficult. There must be something for you, but what is in it for me? So I stated what I want. I'm like, God, okay, according to what you're telling me, it seems this is what, but this is what I also want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be like me. Don't assure God when he asks you for things. When he asks you for your Isaac, don't be there assuring. God, what? Me, God, you'll understand. Me, God, what? No, God cannot ask you for something that is going to kill you. And even if he asked you for your life, as he has done before where he has asked people to be martyred, yeah, where he says, you are going to be martyred, it's still good for you. So it comes from a place of love and trusting that God, whatever I'm giving you, whatever you're asking me for, I am going to sacrifice it because I know that you're a good God. This transaction, tewali lose win. It is win, win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So may you make some of these vows with understanding, and I hope that God continues to build on that and on those few points that I've given us today. Amen? Yeah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.